Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I am your host, Jorge Martin. Thank you so much for joining us on YouTube. Por favor, if you got a chance, give it a second, go over to the subscribe button. Give it a little click. Maybe give us a thumbs up. Really appreciate it. It's helping us out. Maybe we're getting close to that 100 subscriber mark. Por favor, por favor. And as we've been talking about, we are a proud member of the Fantasy Points Media Group. When you go to fantasypoints.com, use the promo code FAMILIA22. If you're doing it in Spanish, FAMILIA22, I'll get you 10% off, and you're going to get some of the best fantasy minds out there. You got John Hansen, Joe Dolan, Graham Barfield, Scott Barrett, Wes Huber, Tom Brawley. I mean, you know, just some real incredible minds in the middle of 32 days. 32 articles, 32 podcasts, all leading up to get you ready for training camp and the season ahead. You know what? So many people win their leagues with one of these subscriptions. So get yours and I'll get you that promo code. So again, Familia22, get 10% off. Familia, we've got a return guest that, I mean, he was a blast last year, and I was so happy and touched that he was able to, that he said yes to coming back. I appreciate it. Mi amigo Josh Briscoe, I mean, he's everywhere when it comes to the Chiefs. I mean, that's an understatement, actually. He's on Arrowhead Report. Let me give a little pump to his work. He's on Arrowhead Report, which is a part of Fan Nation for Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated writers have been coming out in, you know, all over for this NFL Insider Series. So I really appreciate that. I've been a subscriber for more than 40 years, so love it. And also, you're going to catch him on Sports Radio 810, so covering Chiefs, Kansas City Sports. You know, which sometimes happen right as we're about to hit record. Yep. On podcasts. Yep. When you get some news, breaking news, one or two other things. So his takes are so tasty. They are just like Kansas City barbecue. So welcome again, Joshua Briscoe, Josh Josue in Spanish. Welcome. Bienvenido, my friend.
Gracias. I forgot to learn more Spanish before coming back for this show this year. I forgot that I really had some important homework. I was hopefully going to get a little more than that. But pequeño español is all I've got. And I'm sure that was horrible to listen to. So I will not offend anyone else by any other horrible Spanish for the rest of this show. But it's good to be back with you, man.
Oh, and you know what? As long as you could still, order good Mexican food, which Casey, when you told me you could get KC barbecue tacos, yes. I was just like, I need to get there.
Yes. Yeah, that's all still true. And nobody here is going to ask if you'd like flour or corn tortillas. You know, we've got a little bit. It's not, we're not perfect, but we've put a little bit of flavoring on our whole deal here.
Love it. Love it. Well, there's one guy who needs no flavoring to be tasty. and we talked about him a lot at length last year. Number 15, Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, everything starts with him. I mean, he's got continuity. This is what, year five as a starting quarterback. You know, the one thing that's interesting now is he's not the presumptive number one quarterback when it comes to fantasy. Josh Allen has overtaken him because of his rushing ability. But, you know, let's kind of look ahead to this year. He's lost Tyreek Hill, which I know got you busy for a few days there.
I have no idea.
is this a guy that is so talented, so accomplished in such a perfect system for him that even losing a great player like that, he can elevate so many other players to still have a season that could be close to 5,000 yards like he put up last year?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Chiefs are betting on, right? Like, that has been sort of the strategy of theirs after trading away Tyreek Hill. And you're right, that was an uprooting type of move that you don't see all that often in the NFL, except for this offseason. We saw like five teams do that. You know, you see Davante Adams, you see a bunch of great pass catchers, a bunch of great pass rushers. So all of that becomes a little more normal in this version of the NFL that we saw this offseason. But yeah, so the Chiefs bet here, and again, fantasy implications will always be woven into all of this. But the Chiefs bet here is that they can go from having two number one targets being Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and then not having a lot of great secondary or tertiary options. They're hoping they can go from that to filling out the rest of the room a little bit more outside of Travis Kelce, who's obviously still back. I'm sure we'll talk about him plenty. And then just saying, hey, Patrick Mahomes is going to make each of these guys better, and it will change how the offense works. I do think, though, that from a fantasy perspective, when we do start talking about the pass catchers and the running backs, there's a lot that's very interesting there that I'm excited to talk about because we haven't done much fantasy previewing yet on our side of things. But for Patrick Mahomes, I don't think anything should scare you from being thrilled to have him as your quarterback in fantasy. The rushing yards are hard to argue if you can get somebody with a lot more from their legs. He'll get you a few yards every once in a while. I always love the Patrick Mahomes over rushing yards bet because it always feels like it's too low. And I feel like every time I've been like, that seems too low, I feel like I'm like, 8-2 or something to 10 times. And I said, I like this bet. But in fantasy, obviously, it's a different game. But yeah, you should not be at all afraid of Patrick Mahomes in fantasy.
And especially considering the fact that the AFC West, you know, you got all those games against, other unicorn quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's going to be, could it just be shootout after shootout, especially when it's those four teams are going against each other?
Yeah, I think that's a great call for the division, but I think it's an especially great call for the Chiefs right now. I'm bullish on the Chiefs defense by the end of the year. I'm bullish on the Chiefs defense, what they've done for themselves for the next few years. But right out of the gate, they're going to be playing more young guys than Steve Spagnuolo has ever played in Kansas City. And it's not going to be up to him. Like, that's just, they've had veterans leave. They have had veterans they have let leave or asked to leave. And then they have refilled those spots largely with rookies. So I think there could be some growing pains defensively early on for this team, which should just turn into, hey, we're going to need you to keep throwing the football, and Patrick Mahomes will gladly oblige.
Oh, awesome. And you mentioned the rushing ability. That's sneaky. That's sneaky. That's why I still, you know, right now some people are ranking. I haven't seen Mahomes lower than third. One person I know ranked him fourth behind Allen, Herbert, and Burrow. A lot of people still have him second. Some people still have him first. So it's amazing. I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed. And, you know, one game I'm looking at also specifically is that week 17 game against the Broncos. That's going to be in Kansas City, which is championship week for fantasy football. So I think you're going to get a shootout in that game.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be ping, ping, ping.
They don't play the Broncos until you say 17. So I think it was week 14 and 17 or week 15 and 17, but super late. The Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes will not face off until very, very late in the season. So all those Chiefs Broncos games later on should be high flying and very fantasy playoff relevant.
Well, you teased the pass catchers. So I want to see if you can help me out on the running backs.
Okay.
This year it came out that Clyde Edwards-Helaire had gallbladder surgery. So, you know, and a lot of people were just kind of down on him last year. Apparently he lost quite a bit of weight, which you need as a running back.
Right.
Now his health going into this season, and could he, and now he's falling. I got him in the ninth round of a best ball draft over the weekend. And I just was like, can you give me a runway where he kind of comes back and lives up to that first round potential?
Yeah, I think that this year is, and I got to be honest, at this point, I have not done a whole lot of like fantasy pre-pro. So you can let me know, if this aligns with where he's going and everything. But I think this year is the year. I think last year I wasn't going to end up with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in almost any of my teams because I had a whole series of questions. I didn't like the draft pick for the Chiefs at the time, just a positional issue as much as anything. And then you've seen him have his injury issues. You've seen him have his workload fluctuate. The gallbladder thing is a totally different animal. Obviously, there's nothing you can do about that. If I gave someone else garbage for their malfunctioning internal organs, that would make me a little bit of a hypocrite, because my pancreas has given me plenty of problems. So, that the gallbladder's not his fault. The injuries are random. It's not like he's some like injury prone running back. It's just, you start to wonder when that wear and tear hits a guy. But this year in particular, I think this is your buy low opportunity on Clyde Edwards-Helaire if he really is sliding down draft boards. The most interesting thing, though, is the group as a whole. There's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then there's Ronald Jones, who they brought in this year for the first time, most recently, obviously, with the Buccaneers. But he is a first and second down running back. The questionable thing is that Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the Chiefs so far has been a first and second down running back, despite being an excellent pass catcher in college, a good route runner. I think his pass blocking has kept him off the field on third downs to this point. But if Ronald Jones is going to be on the field in earlier downs, I think that makes Clyde have to be the third down guy this year and more, not just demoted to the third round, to the third down guy. But I think that finally demands that that's going to be his opportunity, because Darrell Williams, who's now in Arizona for the first time this offseason, Darrell Williams became that third down guy, despite not being the prototypical third down pass catcher. But they trusted him to catch passes. They trusted him to pass block. Jerick McKinnon is back now as well. They drafted Isaiah Pacheco, running back in the seventh round of this year's draft. So there is a lot of sort of muck there. And if Clyde gets hurt, the Chiefs will be fine with Jones and McKinnon and Pacheco and maybe even a couple other guys they've had around Derek Gore as well. But I actually kind of like Clyde if you could feel relatively safe about just needing him to be an okay performer in your lineup, I think his upside is still very high. So I think there's a chance the Chiefs say, hey, we finally now in year three for him, we're not going to have to take you off the field at any particular point. And I don't think that's been true so far through his first 2 years.
Awesome. You nailed the running backs. Oh, thank you.
It's all I got right now. You think I want to talk about the Royals on the radio? I'd rather talk about the Chiefs running backs.
Well, you promised me something spicy when it came to the wide receivers. Tyreek Hill leaves a gaping hole, a gaping hole. I mean, 10 targets a game are now available. And now you've got new faces with Juju Smith-Schuster. You've got Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, you've got Mecole Hardman as a returning player. You got Sky Moore, a highly drafted player. Yeah, obviously there was a lot of talk about, you know, did they take one of those draft picks and use it on a receiver? And of course they didn't do it with either one in the first round and waited. But Sky Moore definitely has a lot of pedigree. And you got Josh Gordon and Justin Ross. Can you help me make sense of this whole group, mi amigo?
I can try. And I think I have one take that I'm willing to die on this offseason. And if I'm wrong, it won't cost me anything, because I'll just have missed out on one of these players.
I'll take the bullet for you.
So I appreciate that. This can be, we can at least test this here, and then we can see if it grows, you know, if I need to start flinging this elsewhere. But you're my sounding board on this one. First of all, Travis Kelce is this team's number one wide receiver. And I think this year that might be even more literal than it's been in the past, just depending on where they have him like lining up and how often they look to him. Travis Kelce is the centerpiece of all of the pass catchers on this team. It's not even close. He is older, doesn't even make me hesitate at this point. He has slowed down a little bit since his peak in terms of like his speed. He has not slowed down in his production. I'm going to keep telling you that Travis Kelce is going to get 1,000 yards every year until he eventually doesn't do it. And I'll go, you know what? Finally, I was wrong. But I wouldn't have been wrong for a very long time. So I love Travis Kelce. That's where this all begins. Among the pass catchers, though, I'll give you my spiciest take here first, is that in redraft leagues or in just anything that any non-keeper, non-dynasty formats, I'm not going to end up with Sky Moore on any of my teams. And that has almost literally nothing to do with Sky Moore. I think that he in this offense has a very bright future. I think that he could be a productive part of this offense this year. I just think by the time that happens, you'll probably have given up on him, because I do not know that he is going to be in a position to put up fantasy production in the first 10 weeks of the season. If he's a super late flyer, if you're keeping an eye on him, if he's available on waivers later in the year, maybe there's something to watch there. But it's just really, really, really hard for a first-year receiver to produce in an Andy Reid offense. Now, the thing here that worries me is that you already mentioned this, but everybody except for Mecole Hardman, essentially, and Josh Gordon to some extent, I guess, but basically everybody except for Mecole Hardman is a first-year receiver in an Andy Reid offense. Sky Moore, obviously, is a rookie. Juju and Marquez Valdez-Scantling are veterans entering a new offense. I like Juju here, I think, the most of this receiver group. I think I like MVS second. That is way more boom or bust. I could absolutely see him having a disappointing stat line on the year, but I'm really interested to see how the Chiefs use him. But for the first time in a few years, the Chiefs offense is legitimately a mystery. I don't know for sure, because we haven't seen it before. I knew for sure last year that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were going to produce, because we've seen it. The offense is going to look different this year, though. I will say that as well. none of those guys, not Sky Moore, not Juju, not MVS, none of those guys are going to step in a Tyreek Hill role. Mecole Hardman either. I think they will all have different roles as this offense looks different. I trust the veterans over the rookie, though, for fantasy purposes, just for this first year. Sky Moore might have the best career out of in Kansas City out of all those guys. But right now in fantasy, it's very hard for a rookie to produce like that in Andy Reid's offense.
And you mentioned it. It's rookie wide receivers. When you look at Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, what they've done the last 2 years, that's the anomaly. That is not, I think it's more when a guy breaks out, I think more A.J. Brown. In his where he had like 5 weeks at the end, and you mentioned Tyreek Hill. It wasn't until year two in an Andy Reid offense with Alex Smith throwing the ball. I don't think I've got Sky Moore on any of my on any of my dynasty teams, but not that I didn't try, but I think you're right, I like him more on the year two kind of thing.
I'm even going back and looking at like Jeremy Maclin and Deshaun Jackson's, first year stats, both in Philly, obviously with Andy Reid. And if Jeremy Maclin ended up with 56 catches for 773 yards and 4 touchdowns, that is a nice season. I don't know if that's a needle moving season from a fantasy perspective. I think this offense has more talent than that offense had in 2009. He was also able to do that opposite Deshaun Jackson in year two, who also had a nice rookie. Deshaun Jackson would be the one that you could point to and say, wait a second, he had almost 1,000 yards as a rookie. But I think that it's easier, even when you talk about Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, if you have a receiver with an overwhelming talent right away, and Tyreek Hill could have been an argument for this and wasn't, it's easier to make that guy do something in your offense in year one, because you can say, hey man, just go be fast or big or just larger than whoever's guarding you, and we'll find you ways to get the ball. And again, with Sky Moore, I think that Sky Moore is going to be a tremendous part of the Chiefs offense, but I don't think that he's going to dictate the Chiefs offense, if that makes sense. And so that for me is sort of the underlying fear of just like, from a fantasy perspective, of how long is it going to take for those gears to really mesh? Because I think he's going to be a good player, but that's my warning from a fantasy perspective, I guess, or at least my nervousness.
Well, I know you're not nervous. You already talked about Travis Kelce. Anything else? It's hard to not put him down for 140, 150 targets and, 1,000 to 1,200 yards and close to 10 touchdowns. I'm going to give this. Could we be looking at the best tight end of all time?
Absolutely. No hesitation. And if you were to say, is he right now the best tight end of all time? I would say, I'm not sure. Let me think about it. But could he be? Yes. Well, I think that he broke the record for consecutive 1,000-yard receiving tight end seasons 2 years ago, like two full seasons ago, if memory serves. He's now done it 6 consecutive times. I believe the previous record was 3 or 4. I can't remember. It doesn't matter anymore, because the amount of space that he is putting between him and everyone else at this position is outrageous. And I grew up watching Tony Gonzalez here in Kansas City. He was tremendous. I have watched Rob Gronkowski very closely from afar over the years. He is an absolute animal. I love Mark Andrews. I love a lot. Tight ends are one of my favorite positions in football. No one has done it better over this same period of time than Travis Kelce has. Maybe somebody did it as well. Antonio Gates haunted me as a football watching child, right? Like that man was a super villain to me. I want to say finesse. That's not the right word. The precision of the technique of Travis Kelce, the understanding of the game laid out in front of him. I don't know if you've ever gotten to hear any of the quotes. And I asked him about it several years ago and it stuck with me, and it's only become more of a thing, more kind of widely known since then. But like the ways where he and Patrick Mahomes are literally at the line of scrimmage. Oh, it was in the Chiefs Bills game that, 13 seconds or less.
Yes.
If you saw the mic'd up NFL films thing, Kelce is telling Mahomes during the, I think it's the play before, he's like, hey, whenever I line up here, they're showing me this. And if they show it again, I want to just go down the seam. And they line up in the defense and Kelce's standing there, and you hear Mahomes in his cadence, and he's behind the quarterback, and he yells, "Do it, Kels, do it, do it." And Travis Kelce moves his feet like 6 inches. And then they snap the ball and he picks up the first down or whatever, or gets into field goal range or whatever it was. And they end up tying up that game, getting into overtime and then winning it there. That's the type of thing where, again, you literally have him reading defenses as if he is the quarterback in certain circumstances, at least. And then being on that same page, like hypnotically with Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce could be 45 years old and I would take him too high in fantasy because that part isn't going to go away. His size is not going to go away. He played hurt through basically all of last year. Just with this, he could have been on the injury report as, you know, limited 32 years old and plays tight end in the NFL. Like it was just sort of, he just has been bludgeoned year after year. So I have no hesitation about him as a player. From the one place where maybe you could get me to just you know, pull back my clicking finger for just a second on draft day is that if you're an opposing defense heading in, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, the week one opponent, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals right now, I am saying, hey, let's just make Travis Kelce miserable and see if they can beat us with one of those other guys. And then I think shortly thereafter, Juju Smith-Schuster or Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Mecole Hardman or Sky Moore, somebody is going to do something that makes them realize, oh, we can't just cover Travis Kelce. And then he will see those grips loosened up a little bit. That'd be my kind of prediction. And that's what I would do if I was the Cardinals right now.
And that's the thing, because, you know, that people started to do that, you know, kind of like throwing the coverage, kind of dropping the DBs really back and making and saying, OK, we're going to take away everything deep. You guys try and dink and dunk over the middle. Do you think that's going to happen more this season?
It's a good question. And it, so it's interesting. That became a huge talking point. To the point that I think it eventually got to being overblown at least a little bit, just in terms of how, not in terms of if defenses were doing it, they were. I'll come back to that in a second. But in terms of how much it was limiting the Chiefs, they were showing a lot of too high safeties, though a lot of cover two shells, were, to your point, keeping everything in front of them. The place on that where I've had to find myself pushing back on some of the not to your question, but to things other people have extrapolated with, is I got to say, hey, like, go back and actually look at how the Chiefs were responding here. They were still very, very, very productive against those defenses, but this is still a response to that, or at the very least, still a different version of their offense that they can use to buck up against that this year, defenses were limiting Tyreek Hill because they were saying, hey, we're going to make you an intermediate receiver. Crazy thing, and this is good news for Dolphins fans, Tyreek Hill is an incredible short and intermediate receiver as well. He really can do it at every depth, and, you know, for all the jokes about Tua Tagovailoa and who's more accurate or whatever, which is obviously silly. But, you know, all of that notwithstanding, he'll be good in Miami as well, regardless of how far downfield he gets the ball thrown to him. But for the Chiefs offense this year, I definitely think, hey, they have one of the best intermediate and yards after the catch guys in football now in Juju Smith-Schuster. They've got a big deep threat in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They have Sky Moore, who I'm very curious to see how they'll use him. And you still have Travis Kelce in the intermediate also, who is literally the best intermediate player in football right now. So they are going to have more options at different depths. And I think that the end result there is that the offense, they believe at least, won't take a massive step back. Because they're kind of just replacing different things Tyreek Hill could do with several different players.
And Patrick's feelings didn't get hurt in the whole that he doesn't throw the prettiest ball ever.
I think, yeah. So I was out of town when that press conference was happening, so I wasn't there for it. But I saw the quotes afterwards of Mahomes going like, yeah, that was, I can't remember what his exact quote was about the podcast thing. He was like, yeah, I think he said, I was kind of surprised, which is like, I'm not mad. I'm not even disappointed. I'm just surprised. It's like, oh, that, I don't know. Patrick Mahomes doesn't say stuff like that very often. And so I think you can read between the lines a little bit and think that, you know, maybe he felt a little bit slighted by that. Also, Tyreek Hill's not going to go down there and say that I downgraded at quarterback. Like, that would also be a crazy thing for him to say. So, you know, I get it. I do.
Oh, fantastic. Offensive line. So much is being made about, the rebuilding job that was done. Yeah. And we still saw so much, you know, saw great performances from Mahomes because of that. Orlando Brown's about to re-sign. Is this still expected to be an elite unit?
Yeah, and I should have mentioned that we're talking about the running backs as well, because there's a lot that ties into them all across that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how soon people are hearing this, or maybe they're, if you're listening later after the, you know, after the show went out, you go, hold on, what about what Orlando Brown just, whatever. As we sit here now, I think that he will end up signing a long-term deal before the deadline in mid-July. I think that long-term deal will get done, but as we stand here at this moment of recording, it is a little bit up in the air. Again, I think it'll happen though. I think both sides should be motivated to get that deal done. We'll see. But yeah, the rest of the offensive line will be the same as it was last year, with maybe a little more help at right tackle. I can save you some of the intricacies of that, but the offensive line altogether will be excellent. It's only getting more physical depending on what happens in the right tackle battle. And so what I would love to see is, and this is, you know, there's a lot of people who have gotten into the film on this that you should check out, from Seth Kaiser and the Chief of the North newsletter to the KC Sports Network guys. Both of them, also some of our very own on arrowheadreport.com. I always credit other people with the takes that I steal. Maybe I should credit the ones that I steal from our own site. But you should support those if you're interested in more on some of the stuff the Chiefs are doing. But they have run zone running schemes under Andy Reid here in Kansas City, with now they have a very power sort of based offensive line and running backs whose skills could be elevated by that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Ronald Jones, both, like, they don't need to be stuck back there with being forced to read a bunch of different holes and decide where to go. They're both at their best when they say, hey, you ball there. And then all of a sudden their skills can really come to fruition that way. So I will be curious to see if we see them change things up from a run scheme angle at all, which could definitely influence those running backs. Also, as the offense evolves, I do think they'll run it a little bit more. I think if defenses say, hey, maybe it's fewer RPOs here and there, but if defenses say, hey, look, we'll just go ahead and drop eight and see what you guys do, I love throwing the ball. I think that the curve of the NFL universe has been unfairly curved towards running the ball too much for the majority of its history. But even I think there are going to be situations this year where the Chiefs are basically forced to run the ball, and that will also be fine by me. But yeah, the offensive line, as long as Orlando Brown gets extended or even just plays under the tag, I guess. But as long as Orlando Brown is still here, Patrick Mahomes will have no trouble back there. And I do think there could actually be another step forward for the offensive line from a run blocking perspective, but they were also pretty good last year too.
Other side of the ball. So so many new names. So many two defensive players are picked in the first round. Lost Tyrann Mathieu. How does this unit shape up both against the run and against the pass for when to look at people who want to kind of project to playing against the Chiefs.
That's a fun way of thinking about it, because I honestly always gonna be like, oh, don't if you're playing just with team defenses, don't worry about it. You can get your Chiefs on the offensive side. but that is a good way of framing it, because what I would say to touch on something I mentioned earlier is that early in the season, I think you want to be playing the Chiefs early in the year if you have players on the opposing offense. Not because they're devoid of talent, or not because Steve Spagnuolo is a bad defensive coordinator, or not because they're never going to get anywhere. I don't believe any of those things to be true, but because this team is going to be so young that I just think there are going to be some brain farts. Like, I think that's about as plainly as I can put it. Trent McDuffie, they traded up to draft a corner. They've really underinvested in corner under Brett Veach as the GM here for a while. They go get Trent McDuffie, though. Their cornerback group with McDuffie and Legarius Sneed and then probably Rashad Fenton as the third guy there. I like their cornerback group. I think letting Tyrann Mathieu walk and then bringing in Justin Reed is going to be, if not immediately consistent, I think overall that will be the right decision, certainly years down the road. But he's going to be new at the back of that defense from the jump. Nick Bolton and Willie Gay are back for their second and third years, respectively, among the linebackers. There's been some more turnover down that linebacker list a little bit. Leo Chanel is a rookie they drafted in the third round. He's not ready to cover guys on a professional level. He's an athletic maniac. And he will hit dudes for sure, but he's not ready to cover at the pro level at this point. Brian Cook, safety they drafted in the second round, he does look pretty good. He looked pretty good in mini camps. I expect to see his role continue to grow, but you're hearing a lot of George Karlaftis. I glossed over. He was their pick at 30. Their defensive ends are him, George Karlaftis, rookie out of Purdue, He's Greek. He played water polo for a long time before he ever touched a football field. Fun story there. Seems like a great kid. I say kid now because I'm older than NFL draft picks for the first time. Not the first time, but, you know, I'm much older than the NFL draft picks now, which is weird. But he seems like a good young man, a good young whippersnapper. And I'm excited to see what he can do. But it's him and Frank Clark, who is not old, is not younger than me. he is an old man by defensive end standards at this point, at the tail end of a contract that he's never fully lived up to. He's had injury issues and all of that. I just don't know if he's going to be productive at that spot. And then it's a bunch of role players behind him. Fine role players, but just role players. If Karlaftis is slow to the come up, or if he gets hurt or just doesn't play good football, Frank Clark will miss some games. I think that's a reasonable thing to expect. Behind him, I am very, very concerned. And I'm pretty concerned about Clark. I'm a little concerned about Karlaftis. So the Chiefs pass rush on the edges is terrifying at this point. Chris Jones can still eat through the middle. He's second best defensive tackle in football, I would argue, behind Aaron Donald, who's barely a defensive tackle and is more of an alien. But it's kind of unfair to compare people to Aaron Donald. But the edge rush is concerning to me. And so if you've got Kyler Murray out of the gate, you should feel pretty good about that. If you're looking for a quarterback mid-season for an injury or a bye week replacement or something, I think you could probably hunt the Chiefs defense a little bit, at least early on. And then I bet in the back half of the year, I think things will look a lot better. That's been sort of the Steve Spagnuolo blueprint anyway, even before it was as youthful as it is now. So I think we'll see a more exaggerated version of that. I like the Chiefs defense in the long term. I do not like it in the short term.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. You know, we talked about a Kelce story earlier. You get that great one from 13 seconds. You got another one you want to share that comes to mind? Or if not, we could just.
The 13 seconds, I was witnessing that, you know, through the magic of the internet, like everybody else. I'm trying to remember if I have anything from, I was at Radio Row this year and he was sort of roaming around. Did I get any fun? I had a nice conversation with Taylor Heinicke. It wasn't really funny, but I mean, I can't, you know, I don't have any, great stories from that. I feel like I need like an improv scene prompt, you know, where it's just like, all right, you've got Travis Kelce, Kansas City barbecue and, a defunct mall, you know, what's the
scene? Yeah. Or tight end you.
Tight end you. Yeah. I don't know, Pat, we know here's your inside tidbit, is that just a couple of days before we were doing this, maybe yesterday before we were doing this, I can't remember. Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany announced they're having their second baby. This time it's a boy. So I'm just going to assume that Patrick Mahomes III is going to be the name of that child, and that in about 15 years, he will sign a tremendous name, image, likeness deal. A couple years after that, he will be a first round NFL draft pick. And a couple years after that, I'll be on this show with you talking about when you should draft him in fantasy. There's my prediction for you, that we will not be able to check on for about 20 years or so.
I wonder if his dad will still be going since he'll be on the TV12 method.
And, yes. Yeah. We might get a LeBron Bronny thing where Mahomes is like, look, I just want to, I'll come be a backup to my son as an old man at that point. I mean, that storyline writes itself.
Yeah, just don't call him Pat on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, so, I guess his mom will come get you.
Yes. This was so much fun, mi amigo. Hey, you know what? You graced me with so much about Casey barbecue going into tacos. Any other Mexican food finds that you've had over the last year?
Yes. Oh boy, I wish I would have thought to be prepared for this one because my fiance ended up coming, like she just came back with just a bag of Mexican food from some event she was working at. And it was tremendous. I don't remember what it was called. My DoorDash here it's not even DoorDash. None of them are sponsoring this show, so it doesn't really matter. But my Uber Eats, history is almost exclusively Mexican places in the area. So I don't know that I've got, I don't know if I have a specific like little haunt that I'm, you know, hoarding for myself. Well, there's, I need to go back to, I don't live nearby there anymore, but I used to live in Olathe, a suburb of Kansas City. And they had a, they were next to a Mexican restaurant, but in there was a, to the side was a Mexican grocery store. I might've even talked about this last time. They're the best tacos I've ever had. I talk about them every time I get a chance. And over in the Mexican grocery store, they've just got like a line of, a flat top and all these different tubs of different meats they've been making throughout the day. You get a couple of corn tortillas, you get a scoop of whatever you're picking there, and then a little chopped fresh white onion, a little fresh cilantro. You go sit at your table there and polish off three or four of those. And those clearly are tacos. I don't think I've had those in 2 or 3 years. I have not had them since pre-COVID. And I still think about them. So maybe I'll get that amended before the next time I'm on with you.
A little road trip. And you know, when the best dessert for tacos is just a couple more tacos.
It's the best. People always look at me funny whenever I have a full meal and they say, "Do you want dessert?" I'm like, "Yes, I would like 3 tacos, please."
Tacos to go. Vámonos. Vámonos.
What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. No nothing. Nothing. Hey, you know what? Love it. Love it. Love it. Let me, amigo. Thank you again. Again, you hit it out of the park, blew it out of the water. Oh, geez. Close up shop. I've got this information. Point everybody to where they can find you.
You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. I'm on Sports Radio 810 WHB, almost entirely sports is the show. I do the Chiefs postgame show as well. And then you have arrowheadreport.com. As you mentioned, it's a part of the Fan Nation Network on SI.com. We've got team sites for every NFL team. And it sounds like you've already gotten to talk to a few of that gang. They do a great job all the way through. So great work there on Fan Nation. And then I also have Times Ours, which is the name of the podcast I do on The Athletic with the aforementioned Seth Kaiser and Nate Taylor of The Athletic. We do that in the off season every week or two, in season twice a week. And just another place that we talk about this beloved football team. So all of that stuff, you can see all that if you follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. I got all my links and all that stuff out there too.
I want everybody to remember Briscoe with no E.
Thank you. No, B-R-I-S-C-O. And then that is over.
Perfecto.
Perfecto. Yes. No, crazy endings.
Oh, familia, this has been a blast. Again, to our invitado, thank you so much. Muchas gracias, Josh. Oh, thank you again. Make sure when you're going to fantasypoints.com, put in that promo code familia22, get your 10% off. Also, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, go to Familia FFB. I push out all our content at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter, but you know, I also send it out on Facebook and Instagram, and familiaffb.com. That's where I have original content, articles, and also don't forget the audio version. If you didn't get a chance to see our faces on this one, you know what? You can listen to the audio on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to Anchor for putting us out there. Otra vez, to our invitado, muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia. Salud.